Blog Talk Radio.
Don't like to space.
I got pictures to prove it.
Well, I don't do any work. I supervise.
being a supervisor is a very important job.
It's your story.
Certainly, I could stop and lend a hand and help people do things, but
right.
In the overall picture, I have to constantly see everything.
Uh-huh.
And if I focus on one part, I'm leaving so much open to the public. So
right.
I got to be there, you know. But you're in the bar schmoozing, and I heard from the bartender he wouldn't take any money off. He was all in the house. Well, that was my good friend down there at the bartender. I forgot his name already. Bill. I forget Bill.
Bill Gray.
Bill Gray at the Elks Club. I want to thank you very much. In fact, I want to thank the Elks Club.
He was another guy that showed up Sunday with his dog.
Yes.
And he didn't feel bad because the mayor showed up with his, and he got to meet all the girls.
That's right, yeah. Because we think the Elks Club, and then the very next day, that was on Saturday and Sunday, we had a run down at my shop, and that was the blessing of the motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave everybody who was married a chance to renew their wedding vows with Pastor Z of the Bikers for Christ Church. Four bands, and I think you agree with me this here, too many bands.
Yeah.
It stretched way on, and Daryl Mansfield, who was a... record more albums than I know. He was the end, and unfortunately, the crowd was starting to dimish.
Right.
We had people that rode 3 or 4 hours to get
down. In the middle.
Yeah. We need to bring just two bands in there.
The other thing, when the mayor was giving his speech, and he said how he'd love to take all the bikers to his house because they were such wonderful people.
Yes, he was, and I know
and
his
I,
house.
And
we
I was good, and I wanted to holler, well, tell that to the chief.
But
you asked me to be quiet.
No,
you asked me to be quiet.
The event we put on my shop, the only way I'm hanging on, and I heard 450 people were there. I don't know the numbers.
More than that.
That's what I'm hearing, exaggerating and all that. So, but there was, let's say over 500, be safe with that for a fact there. The reason we pull these events off at my shop is we invite the mayor to speak. As long as we got the mayor speaking, I can keep this event going on. And this is not about my raising money for myself. This would give the biker community a chance for 500 people. So many different clubs could come together.
And not get bothered.
And not get hassled. Did you notice that one or two of the big boys came in not wearing colors?
Right.
Didn't want to draw any heat themselves and all that. We also want to thank our good friend Spike from the Hessians that came down.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of nice, Spike, to come on down. But the day went by. I'm going to talk about rearranging the format a little bit. I'd like to get two bands in. I think that's enough.
That's true.
Yeah. 3 o'clock, the long-distance riders were already on the way back home.
Mm-hmm.
One guy said he had 300 miles to go, and some guys just went down the, you know, down by the border. We had Riverside, Orange County, you know, L.A., so it's a long way to go, and they want to get home before dark.
From Arizona.
Yeah, I heard they rolled in there, too, yeah, so, yeah. But the music was great.
Yeah.
was great, and the food. Food's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wanted to give an update on... The Speedway sidecar.
The only Harley Davidson Speedway sidecar I've ever heard of, right?
Yeah, and this is by Illusion Cycles. It's the racing team. It's run by T-Rod and Stone.
And they're out of Westminster, California.
That's correct.
And the motorcycle shop is called Illusion Cycles. Hence, Illusion Cycles Racing Team.
It's T-Rod and Stone or Rod or Carroll. Anyway, there's four pictures here, Bill. Came out pretty nice. I put the link up in the chat for people to go and look at it. It came out pretty nice.
You know, should one of us tell T-Rod that the Mohawks...
No.
Well, none of us are going to tell him, but, you know, he's...
And then here's the next one, when they're getting ready to go out into the track. The only problem with this is they'll have to download.
Now, what track are we talking about, by the way?
Santa Monica. In Santa Monica.
T-Rod's quite an interesting person. He comes from a three-generation family of...
I tell you what, we seen this thing when it was being put together.
Yeah.
It came out. Yeah. Diamond plate, nice.
I said he has three generations of metal fabricators in his family.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that some of his most prized possessions are tools his grandfather used.
Right.
And he still has access to all that. It brings him more closer to the project he's working on, using his father's tools and his grandfather's tools.
And as you can see in this picture, came out nice.
Mm. Next time we go through, would you remind me if I forget? I'd like to know the reasoning with that Goethe-style front end instead of something more conventional like a Seriani-type front end.
I went with that for the track, for the dirt. It hugs a little better, he said. I asked him.
It's a modified girder to me. Highly modified girder, because everything he does is highly modified.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, Eric, is if you want to read that, go ahead.
No, it just talks about the... This is the only Harley-Davidson Speedway sidecar in the United States and in the world. This custom building is also internationally compliant with all the regulations of the ASRA, which I don't know what that means. We'll dig it up this summer, which allow this team to compete on any racetrack in the world. This is a setup with enough corrective safety features and all that. It's competitive. It can race against any model anywhere there is, so that's pretty classy there.
Mm-hmm.
It has a 1,000cc... Illusion Motor, which is a homemade vehicle, homemade model they make it. The Gotcha, which is a propriety known only to a special group, although they're not going to tell us what it is.
Oh, I know, but I can't say nothing.
Talk about some talent to put this together. I'm going to say the name of Wink Eller.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that name without putting Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Billy McHale, sorry, like that. Fast Eddie, Joe Jones, and so many more people. Oh, and he says, I really want to thank Phil and Bill for so much. Oh, no, that's not there. No, I made that part up, everybody in there. But Screwdriver's going to keep us updated on the races going on. Illusion Racing Team, the only motorcycle Harley-Davidson Speedway vehicle competing. That's pretty classic.
And? Just to give you a taste of what it looks like when it's going around the track, Bill.
Well, Screwdriver's giving us some technical upgrades and all that. I don't know if anybody knows much about Speedway. It's not real popular in America as much as it is in England, but it's starting to come alive.
Rusty or T-Rod at 714-894-1942.
You know, a lot of people ask me, because I have a late model motorcycle. I have the 96-inch, and I got the 6-speed. Bill, I've got an older bike, an 06 or older. I want to put a 6-speed in my 5-speed. Well, it can be done. It is going to be pricey. But you don't have to do that.
No.
He's offering for just $200 a chance for you to take your 5-speed out and put this right in the program. What am I looking at, sir? Oh, that's my good friend Frank Romero, Rat. Yes, indeed. Rat is quite an interesting chopper like that. You know, I'm trying to focus on this program over here, and you're drifting back in the past and all that. On that. So I have no idea where the hell I was. Oh, yeah, if you guys have 5-speed transmission, you contact Illusion Motorcycles, and they have a kit, about $200, and it'll get you the extra component in there, so your 5-speed will be working in the same capacity as a 6-speed.
Correct.
So you don't have to pull the motor out. You have to pull all the gears out for a fraction of the cost. I have not used this because I do run 6-speeds in the late models, but maybe we should send one down there so we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ratman was telling me, that's what Frank Brown talking about.
Right.
Fallbrook was going to have a big biker festival.
They canceled.
And they had to cancel out there. Money was too tight. And I want anybody that does know about that, the city did not cancel because it was bikers. They're still going to have like an art display of Harleys and custom bikes, but they've had to cut back and they just don't have the money for doing stuff. That's why
Right. They're
cutting libraries down. They're cutting everything down there is. So if anybody in the North County area hears, well, damn city of Fallbrook, man, to cut it out, it's not anything against the bikers. It's just the money, guys. Mm-hmm. They've done that run every year.
Then we go back to Rusty and T-Rod at Elysian in Trigger Gum. He's going to do a world record attempt in Sturgis. It's going to be on August 13th. The world record motocross distance jumper and industry icon Trigger Gum will be attempting to break the world record long distance jumped on a Harley-Davidson Sportster built by Illusion Motorsports. This will take place at the world-famous Buffalo Chip Campground, jumping over 200 feet, Bill.
You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. The idea of me jumping 20 feet is inconceivable. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. So 200 feet, let me try to picture. I'm imagining you've got a ramp,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to fly through the air, and we've all seen Evel Knievel and Robbie, his son. Sometimes those landings aren't that smooth.
No.
I hope that...
they're going to be jumping on at midnight, Bill. Going to be jumping at midnight on the August 15th.
Hmm.
And also we'll be performing is Toby Keith,
I like Toby.
Def Leppard, Alice Cooper, and many other acts throughout the festival.
God bless Alice Cooper. Is he 100 years old now? God bless 70, him.
He's 72, I think.
What if he still kills bats and stuff?
No, that's Ozzy.
Ozzy, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Alice.
And then if anybody has any questions, they can get a hold of...
I wonder if people with the economy, are they going to go to Sturgis this year?
They're estimating 900,000 people this year.
People I know, all my friends are just saying, no, we're going to have to cut back.
Yeah.
Going to Sturgis always cost me $1,000 in bills. And then that's not counting my, if I went to Buffalo Chip or something like that. But I always spend out-of-pocket $1,000. Again, that's not my gas. That's not my hotel bills. Not hotel. I camped out there at Buffalo Chip.
Right.
But out-of-pocket expenses, I still went through about $1,000 for food and stuff. So it's not cheap.
No. And
you did have a couple grand with you.
No, if anybody has any questions, they get a hold of RJ at his email address or management company or Attica7 or mm-hmm. Facebook.com Attica7 or Reverb Nation Attica7. You can get a hold of RJ at any one of those.
And what connection do we know with RJ? Why is that clicking in?
For Attica 7.
Yeah, the manager for Attica 7, the group.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I want to tell you about, Bill, is in Washington, get this up there, but the Washington bill for motorcycle profiling bill was passed.
This is Washington, D.C., right?
We're talking Washington about State.
Okay, I want to know. All right.
And I'll just read the story I got. But it was a steady drizzle on April 13th, which was yesterday. in Olympia, Washington, did nothing to dampen the spirits of the Washington motorcycle community as they witnessed the signing of historic legislation that addresses the issue of motorcycle profiling. At 2:15, Governor Christine Gregory signed a ESB 5242 into law. This is the first bill of its kind in the U.S., and through the collaboration of the independents and the club community of Washington State, a new statute will be effective 90 days from April 24th, end of the 2011 legislative session. Approximately 75 members attended the signing, and the bill's prime sponsor, Senator Jim Hargrove, even donned his own leathers bill to lead the throng into the governor's conference room. It was a truly monumental day, and that's Mr. Breeze out of Washington. So all we got to do is figure out how to do that shit down here, Bill.
I don't know. You know, may I suggest something? I've been waiting for this one.
Go ahead.
If the motorcycle organizations, oh, you guys ready for this? You know it's coming. Whatever frickin' just come together, we can do things like this.
That's it.
But as long as we're fractionalized, long as we refuse to come together under one umbrella, it makes the cop's job easier.
Yep.
If we would ever just sit down, Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, what's the difference in there? We're talking about rights. The very first helmet protest in California, and I'm very proud to say this, was held at Kennedy's Custom Cycles. We had a lot of Honda Goldwing riders. I can't think of the club's name right now. They came in all wearing helmets. They said they were against the mandatory law. They wanted to wear the helmet. They came down to my shop, my brother's shop. They protested the helmet law way back in the day because they felt their rights were being taken away. And yet, helmet law or no helmet law, they wanted to wear the helmets. So we got to contact these people that are wearing helmets and say, look, we need your support.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that it should be, you know, up to you, if you should be independent, make those choices. But I don't feel that we're reaching out to the metric community and the German community, German motorcycle riding community, saying, look, we're not asking you to stop wearing your helmet. We're saying, help us have the right to choose that.
Correct. Then when we go back to, I got an update from John. And,
John Del Santo?
Yeah, this is a press release.
San Diego, the guru, the wizard,
mm-hmm.
the man that researches everything. Thank goodness.
This came from John today.
Uh-huh.
And I like his new thing here, Question Authority by Ben Franklin. But just for your information, what do you think about lane splitting, Bill?
I live on lane splitting.
There you go.
I have a diner. I lane split. We have friends up north, and when I go up north, north of me is Orange County, L.A., etc. The traffic is too bad. If I lived in an area where I just drove out east into the desert, it wouldn't matter. If I only made my trips into just Mexico, it wouldn't matter. But for me to leave San Diego, the motherland, and to go up to where those barbarians live up there in L.A. and Orange County, I have to lane split, or I'll be on the freeway all day.
That's it. So this is just for info, Bill, but a lot of people, somebody put it out wrong, and they corrected it. And this is regarding the rules of the road memo that was sent out. Whoever wrote that up made some slight errors. For instance, they wrote of lane splitting as follows. What is lane splitting? Lane splitting is another motorcycle-specific traffic rule. It allows motorcycles to essentially ride the barrier between two lanes, cutting in between other vehicles that are stopped or moving at a slow rate of speed.
Let's stop there for a second. See, to me, a slow rate, if you're down to 45 miles an hour, I think I have a right to split right through everything in there. Certainly, anything less than 45, I have more than a right. If it gets up to 50, I pretty much try to stay in my lane. I think I'm pushing it with the cops too much. What do you find the criteria is for splitting?
What do I find the criteria?
Yeah.
When they start, when they're going 20 miles an hour.
Okay. So I'll push your way up to 45. If you're going 45 on the freeway, I think I have a right to split it if you're going too slow.
Right.
So that's not one of those vague areas we're talking about.
That's it. Because, contrary to popular belief, and some say to common sense, a study performed by USC, University of Southern California, several years ago, proves that evasive action like that seen in lane splitting actually makes the roadway safer for motorcyclists, preventing them from being sandwiched between cars and letting them avoid inhaling copious amounts of toxic exhaust fumes. So now, we as motorcyclists are aware that splitting... Go ahead, Bill.
They're trying to tell us that splitting or sharing is not legal. It is illegal. and you hit my page, I lost everything. And the CHP is now saying that any type of illegal or lane sharing is absolutely not allowed, going to be totally illegal. And we know that's not, that can't happen.
Right.
And you just punched my whole thing right off the board. I'm reading nothing up here.
Oh, no, because I got,
what'd
sorry
you get?
About that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, anyway, we as motorcyclists are aware that splitting or sharing is not legal or illegal. In other words, there's nothing in the CVC that prohibits it. However, according to CHP officers, straddling or passing between lanes by popping back and forth from lane to lane to lane is against the law by way of the CVC 21658A, which reads, lane roadways 21658. Whenever any roadway is divided into two or more clearly marked lanes for traffic in one direction, the following rules apply. A. A vehicle shall be driven as nearly as practical entirely within a single lane and shall not be moved from the lane until such movement can be obtained with reasonable safety. Could you do it and get away with it?
You know, sometimes
maybe.
You do.
Could you do it and be given a citation?
Sometimes
maybe.
You will.
Just depends on how you're acting.
Now let's talk about that for a second, then, because you're talking about actually changing from, say there's four lanes on the highway. You're
right.
Saying going from lane number one, the fast lane two, number three, lane four.
Zipping in and out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they can jam you up.
Yeah.
But if you're between...
But let's say, again,
if you're riding,
lanes,
if you're riding,
one
if you're riding the line between
three,
the lanes,
two.
The
yeah.
split line between the lanes, you're riding that. If you stay right there, you're okay. But if you start bouncing from lane to lane to lane to, you know, back and
yeah.
forth, then they're going to jam you up.
But see, we have to, because, again, sometimes you come across two cars with Western swing mirrors, and sometimes a little, but then some jerk-off just try to squeeze me anyway. Some
right.
people give me the space and all that. What they're going to get me one day is the fact that as I'm going, trying to stay on the fast lane, number one lane, but I'm going back and forth, left and right, I'm not putting my turn signals on. I'm not putting them on because by the time I get my turn signal on, I'm already changed lanes once or twice, so that's
right.
where I'm afraid they're going to get me on. Well, no. Unless it's on a motorcycle,
right.
and I'm switching too many lanes, there's no cop car going to catch me. But I don't know if they're going to get me one day because sometimes I have to go over the bumps in the road, the little dots, you know, there?
Right.
Because I got a
they
big
call
Cadillac.
Those, they call those bot dots, Bill.
Zot dots.
Bot.
Bot?
Bot.
Not zot?
Mm-hmm. Bot.
Zot. Okay.
No.
Well, once again, well.
Beware of traffic.
Yeah. When I drive the motorcycle and I'm splitting traffic, everybody's got their own style. I have cars alongside me. I'm looking at the car ahead of me. I never look at the cars alongside me because then I will probably hit one of them.
Right.
I need to look ahead of me in the peripheral vision. I look for those oncoming vehicles to my sides. But I always have to look ahead. That way I can focus and find my balance.
Right. I think it's... I think we'll take a short break, Bill. We're going to play a little Charlie Baker.
Charlie, a good deal, Charlie.
Okay, this is Charlie Baker.
Air feels good on
He's got an event coming up, doesn't he?
Yeah, May 7th. That's what he's calling in for. But he's on the road right now, Bill. He called me earlier, and he's trying to get to the house and get to the computer.
We'll talk about that a little later then, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll, yeah. But the other one I got is I got an immediate release from the Motorcycle Riders Safety Foundation, or the MRF, Motorcycle Riders Foundation. They met with DOT Secretary, Department of Transportation Secretary Roy LaHood today.
I think you know all these people. I don't know who these people are.
Anyway, the Motorcycle Riders Foundation, along with a few members of Beta of Illinois, recently met with the nation's highest-ranking transportation official. The United States Department of NHTSA Safety Secretary Roy LaHood. LaHood also had his top safety staffer, National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator David Strickland, in on the meeting. The MRF urged Strickland and LaHood to back off the controversial motorcycle-only roadside checkpoints recently funded by the agency. Administrator Strickland did his best to defend the checkpoints. Other topics of discussion including asking Strickland to change his 212 budget request specifically for the modification of to what is known as the 2011 Motorcycle Safety Grant Program. In Strickland's budget request, he asked that the program be opened up not only to fund rider education and share the road campaigns, but also be used for helmet use promotion and helmet use promotion loss.
Well, I don't give a shit about that.
Exactly. The MRF told Strickland that if he wants to fund helmet campaigns, to please find another pot of money to raise. As this program was created by motorcyclists for motorcyclists. Out of his $850 million budget request, to attack this $7 million program is just wrong. Certainly he could find another source of cash for his helmet hunt. There they go. They don't even certify him, but they want a helmet hunt. The MRF does have some praise for Strickland. He recently successfully completed the Motorcycle Safety Foundation's basic rider course. He had good things to say about the experience, and he now has a deeper sense of value for proper and affordable rider training. The group did encourage LaHood to reinstate the Motorcycle Advisory Council, whose charter ended last fall. LaHood seemed willing to do so. The council had met twice a year for 4 years and advised the secretary on infrastructure issues as they relate to motorcycling. The MRF looked forward to continuing to work with Secretary LaHood and his staff in the future.
Now, I'm totally out of this program. You're Mr. Politics now. This is Motorcycle Riding Foundation. I don't know anything about them at all. You stay up on this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What type of program are they? Are they just somebody that the different rights in individuals send money into?
No. The money comes from everybody. When they register his bikes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The percentage that goes to the big pot.
Right.
But why, or how does the Motorcycle Riders Foundation, do we know why do they have so much clout? Why are they doing so much when we have other motorcycle organizations which aren't doing squat out there?
Well, they're in with the bait, Bill, and what they do is they have all the...
But they're separate from the bait.
Right, but they have their quote-unquote lobbyists.
Oh, okay.
Who go to stick up
motorcycle riders. Okay. You see that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have educated people. We need to have people that can go to Congress and to the Senate and to Sacramento. And we need people to speak the same language as those people that have controls on the purse strings, right?
Right. It's just like today, Bill, I got a thing from, this is that thing going on in Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is what I got. To all, I just received a text message from Senator Braden that said, "Hi, Mike, going to vote on SB 177 today. Committee begins at 3:30. I would appreciate it if you'd ask your friends to stop sending nasty emails now. I guess that some of you don't get the message that I gave everyone when I asked to be respectful when speaking with senators. Please stop the emails."
Now, see, I talk about that an awful lot. She's going in.
Well, here's what I don't understand. They want us to be respectful, yet they screw us up. They screw us out of our rights.
Yeah, but they're not going to send nasty emails back. So when we speak, we speak at the same level they're speaking at. Not that their level is better than our level. It's just that they do things a certain way. And we send negative emails.
It's like David says. If she's opposed to hearing from her constituents, I have two solutions for her. Don't run for office or vote her out of committee when heard.
Yeah, but not that she's opposed to hearing, but I think it's semantics they're using. If she's uncomfortable with that language, then we're making an enemy out of somebody. Remember, we got to get the job done.
Well, you know, Bill, it's just like this. You know, Kit Mara.
God knows what type of email you'd send.
Well, it's like, you know, our friend Kit Mara here. Yeah. He writes, when asking for favors from politicians, maybe it's best not to reveal your true opinion of them.
That's what I'm saying. There we go. See that? Yeah, okay. I like that, Kit.
All right. And then somebody else wrote, define favors.
Kit's still with Easy Rider doing that stuff. Yeah, Kit, I'm sorry. I haven't seen Kit in a while.
And then it's define favors, please. So it's like, you know, Mark from Full Throttle Magazine in the Carolinas, he says, I don't think she's opposed to hearing from her constituents.
That's what I'm saying.
She just doesn't want to hear what they are saying. You know, they think that they're elected because they know it's best for all of us.
No, I disagree with them. I think she doesn't want to hear the way we're saying it. And I could be wrong. I'm trying to say that, you know, a little sugar goes a long way, blah, blah, blah. I think that you have to speak the same language as they speak. Saying F this and F that, I don't think there's a time for this, time and place for everything. The way you and I talk in a bar is different than you and I talking to the mayor last week.
Right, but here. This is along the way I feel about it, Bill. Like Kit writes.
We know how you feel about it.
Well,
go ahead.
All right,
here.
This is what Kit writes about favors. He says, listen, I would be the first one to say we should dismantle the entire government and string all of these cocksuckers up on meat hooks. But since they currently hold us by the balls, and they do, it's smarter to be cordial until we get what we want, like they
Kit,
do.
Once again,
like they do, Bill.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And then your buddy here, your favorite buddy, if you'd like to read that.
Well, Mark Temple, who's got a lot of smarts, he says, it is smarter to be cordial up to a certain point. Sometimes these whores. Oh, man. Read that. I don't want to read that. Come on, Mark.
Sometimes
you're on one page, you jump right away.
Sometimes these whores play us by insisting on cordial treatment from us. But how cordial must I be when I'm requesting the master to stop whipping me?
He says, abuse, fraud, and coercion should not be handled by turning the other cheek unless your name is Jesus Christ and you expect to be killed by your 34th birthday. I just said something nice about him being smart and all that. But you know what? I don't wish for Mark or any of those other people to change the way they do business. I do business the way I do business with them. I don't know how many of the towns beside us that can put 500 people together for a party, bring the mayor in, and we got the fire department. We are keeping these people so we have a bridge of communication. The way it breaks down a lot on you and I.
Mm-hmm.
We're still doing stuff. By totally alienating the mayor, chief of police, fire department, like we're doing, if we did that, we wouldn't be able to have the programs we do. We wouldn't have the chance for us all to get together. 500 people were at our party sharing ideas. That's where the government should be afraid of. When we can come together and share ideas, that's when we are dangerous.
Right.
We should not fear our government, but
right,
our government should fear us if we could come together. Just think of all the rights organizations, one big umbrella coming together. Wow.
Well, you know, and then it's, you know, going back to Kit here, this is a good one about 2 hours ago, Bill. He says, America's in an awkward stage. It's too late to work within the system, but it's too early to shoot the bastards. These are the opening lines from 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution by Claire Wolfe.
Well, I don't see Che Guevara coming down the road, and the old guy over there, Fidel, is too damn old to do anything. We have one system. I don't think we can revise the system at this point in time, but if we want change, we have to work within the system. Can you agree with me on that much?
Right.
You'd burn the whole house down.
Right.
I know you would, yeah.
Why not?
That's your side of the fence there, yeah.
Take headshots on the way out. But, you know, just the way
we're two Americans, two veterans, and we have a right to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never want you to change the way I look at life, and I was certainly not going to change the way you look at life.
No.
So agree to disagree.
Right.
The final destination, we agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's several different roads, that's all, you know?
Well, you know, it's just like I showed you that thing today about Canada, Bill.
Canada's a tough place to live.
Canada's a tough place to live. And, yeah. And if you know... The thing I showed you was, you know, about one particular heavy hitter club being told that they're not welcome. Basically, anybody riding a bike, wearing anything, is not welcome in that town.
I have a friend from Canada. He's on his way back in there. he and his girlfriend were living together, and he had some guns in a safe locked up, right, mm-hmm. legit. You know, he had a few drinks, and this and that goes on. Big beef. She calls the cops on him. The cops come to the door. She walks right over to the gun safe and opens it up and shows him his illegal guns that he told me his brother gave him like 20 years ago.
Yep.
Haven't been fired, but that's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
He's got major charges on him for that. So he jumped on his bike, and he's down here in San Diego, but he told me that he's got to go back and face charges or he'll never be able to get back in the country.
That's it.
Guns that were locked up, guns that have not been fired in 20 years, and because he has possession of them, I'm not talking about salt weapons, you know, what, 20 years ago, but they're illegal in Canada.
Right.
That poor schmuck is living in a hard state, so we have a right to complain about this country, but look around a little bit. We're a lot better off.
I mean, whatever, but whatever's happening there, it's going to happen here soon.
We understand that. It's going to
happen here soon, Bill.
Uh-huh.
You know, I showed you that one earlier, and I'm waiting for it to come up right now, but The police say, right now, this is Canada, but the police say, in Canada,
yes.
Okay, but they're not really saying which town. So we'll have to go to this other article. Okay, let me see. The Peterborough Examiner, Bill. It says that the city police wants to be sure members of this club understand him clearly. The organized crime syndicate isn't welcome here. More specifically, they're not welcome to broadcast their biker affiliation if they're going to toss back booskies in the local bars. Earlier this month, city police announced that signs were coming to the city cautioning that people wearing gang colors, gang insignias, and gang support were unwelcome in downtown bars.
Now, let me stop there a second.
Go for it.
How can they go after the bars? They can go after the bars by saying, we're going to pull your liquor license because you're allowing these people in here. We've said they're not welcome in it. So those bars are going to say everybody's welcome. According to this, they can have the liquor license pulled.
Right. Because
they're breaking the law, which is don't allow them in. So this
right.
is how they get you, you know?
Right. We have a couple of callers, Bill. Charlie, is that you?
Hey, brother. What's happening?
Not much, man. Hey, I got Evil E's on the line, too. Let me bring him in. And I'll have him sit in the weeds while we talk, and then we'll bring him in after you tell us what's going on, okay?
Cool, man. Thanks.
Evil.
Yeah, what's up, Phil?
What's up, man? Hey, we got Charlie on the line. I'm gonna ask you to just sit in the background for a minute, and once Charlie's done talking, we'll the four of us will kibitz.
Okay.
All right, man. Hey, Charlie, so what's up, man? We gave you a plug on one of your songs earlier. We played Ride, and
cool.
I told everybody you were calling in. And Bill asked me if we had an event coming up, and I said yes, we do. So we were waiting for you to plug the event, man.
Cheers. What's good on your neighborhood, buddy? What's that?
Well,
food
man, we're firing up the food drive this week. We're going to start the food drive right away this week. Our actual event is Saturday, May 7th. Here in Nashville, Tennessee, at Bikini Beach Biker Bar. And I'm going to take some of the boxes from Second Harvest. Food Bank is going to set up the shop, and we're going to have the food drive start sometime in the middle of next week. And so, because bikers, you know, they're all riding out there on their bikes, and it'll give everybody plenty of time to, you know, to stop by and put the stuff in the bins. And that goes on till the event, and then Second Harvest shows up with a big old truck, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening with that. We have a celebrity cooking challenge. We have live music, a 240-mile round-trip motorcycle ride out to Dale Hollow Lake here in Tennessee, which is a great, great place to go and just ride your bike. That's put on every year by Bikini Beach Biker Bar. They do it twice a year, and they were very kind enough to allow us to hold our Second Harvest benefit and Feeding America benefit during their first version of that, which is the spring run that happens on May 7th.
Charlie, let me ask you, stop you for a question here, please. May 7th, by the way, Screwdriver and I have a North County Bikers Against Diabetes Rips Run going on that same day, and my destination is about 100 miles. The reason I'm saying that is because I got guys traveling a little long distance to get here. If they leave on a 200-mile ride, is it any stops or is it like pretty much stop for gasoline only on this 200-mile trip?
Well, what's going to happen is the venue, the biker, the Bikini Beach Biker Bar, to the Dale Hollow Lake area, is about 120 miles, and so you'll have just a very short interstate lick, and then you're got through the country and up through some beautiful country riding. It's going to be a gasoline stop, go up to another predetermined destination, where they'll pick up riders who want to ride in from that part of Tennessee and Kentucky, because this lake actually sits on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky, and they'll come back and from that area, and that's basically how that's going to go. And it's going to leave out at about 9 o'clock in the morning, the actual ride is, and then the event starts at the bar at noon and goes till it's over, and the bar is open until 3 a.m.,
So you're figuring that most of those riders, they leave at 9 o'clock, they can do that and be back by noon?
No. We know that. We know better than that. You know, we're expecting the ride to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're expecting the riders to come back around 2 to 3 o'clock. They're figuring
okay.
Between 2 and 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's legit. Okay, good. Yeah, I was curious how you're doing that.
Yeah.
Because they're
arriving
now, leaving at... We expect to have people between 1, yeah.
No, yeah, and that's what's going to happen. And so the whole thing is with the ride too. What happens is, like I was saying, this particular biker bar, they do this twice a year. They do one in the spring and one in the fall, and so they're very well organized, and it's not new to them, and it's not new to a lot of the folks that participate in it. And we're very fortunate that they allowed us to be part of it on and host that with our event. And so a lot of other bikers will ride in, man, that just aren't going to take that ride. They'll do it every year, and, you know, it's all for the benefit anyway. But the entire day is built on the benefit.
Exactly. I agree with the fact that if you have a good formula for putting the event on, you make a few modifications, a mild massage, and the run or the event will it'll carry itself because you've had the same formula, same format with adjustments. People are always talking about, oh, this is so difficult. I've been doing this for 20 years, these bike runs. A few adjustments, they go on by themselves. People try to make a big deal out of them. Once you do it a couple times, as you just said, you have a format, brother. It'll be just fine. I'm hoping to hear from other states. I'm hoping some of our friends back east will all try to make it down there. Sounds pretty interesting. What's the Miller Girls? When are they going to be down there? Are they going to be at the Bikini Beach Bar?
Yeah,
or
the Miller Girls. Yeah, the Miller Girls are coming to Bikini Beach. And, you know, Tennessee is kind of a very narrow state. It's long but narrow. So, you know, Kentucky, Alabama, North Carolina, a lot of, you know, bordering states, I'm not going to say it's easy for anybody to ride in, but it's close in proximity where you would say, oh, somebody's coming up from Alabama. Well, reality is Alabama's 100 miles away from this venue. And that's cool. We want, and we appreciate that. And so the point being that a lot of folks we know are coming from around the southeast. We're hoping Screwdriver makes it in from California to represent that again this year. And we have a lot of folks that I've already emailed and sent things on Facebook that said they're coming from, you know, points off the East Coast.
What about the guys coming in? Have you got any lines on any hotels or anything? Or can people coming in, how can they find about where a place to stay at if they can't get back in one day?
Well, one of the great things about the venue is it's a true biker bar. They've been there 14 years, and I'll throw this out there. They have garages, you know, where at the venue where if bikers ride in from out of town and they want to stay at a hotel and they want to ride their bike all day, but they want to party at the bar, their bike can be parked in a very safe place, locked up all night long, and they can take a cab back and forth to their hotels. And that's kind of how this establishment sets it up and takes care of the folks that they cater to. And if they went to my website, we'll be posting some hotel things on there this weekend.
That's good. That always makes people feel better. Some people just wild party, and they want to know that they don't have to drive back. So I like what you're doing on that.
Yeah, the venue
always seems
that,
funny
man.
To me when
you
get
can pull your bike into the shed, man, and leave your bike right there. And they don't want you drinking and driving, you know. I mean, they don't want that to happen. So you can pull your bike into the shed, park it, take a cab to the hotel, you're probably talking $15 for, you know, a short. There's a variety of hotels right there. It's off of a major interstate, you know, within a mile or two of a major interstate interchange, and there's plenty of hotels just right there. If you have to be down in downtown Nashville, it's probably a $30 cab ride to get from the venue to downtown and be in part of that part of the world. So it's pretty close in proximity to a lot of things happening.
Hmm. So the music we're going to have, I understand we're going to have Andy Dozer, Andrew Valiz,
right?
And then we're going to have the music headliners going to be Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, Phoenix Rising is a very popular biker band here in Nashville, and they're very popular at the venue, been around for a long time. They put on a great show. We're very thankful to have them. They've donated their time to come and perform for the event and play all night
long. Were they the guys last time?
What's that?
Weren't they the guys playing when we were there last time?
No, none of the guys we're talking about were there. You know, Razzy Bailey is a country music legend. He's going to be playing there. He's had some great number one hits that everybody would know when they heard him. And if you don't recognize the name Razzy Bailey, and Razzy had recommended a couple of the folks that that are on the bill with us, and it's filling up. There's actually more people going to be playing from the Nashville area that I haven't even had a chance to get listed on the website yet. Because, I mean, you got to figure, man, and, you know, the ride is its own entity. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, but the actual event party starts at noon, and it's going to run until 3 a.m. So it's going to be a long, it's going to be a typical long day for the club, you know, for the bar.
And you'll be dabbling in there to and fro, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll be there to
kick
off the
ride. You're going to be playing on that day?
Yeah, I'll be playing sometime in the afternoon. Yep, I sure will. I'm like the host, man, so I'll be on there off and on, and you know, I'm probably going to get up and do a handful of songs sometime during the afternoon. It's really not about my, you know, performance of playing or nothing. You know, we're going to have a good time. I've got a few guest guys coming in, and what it's all about is, you know, raising money for Feeding America and Second Harvest and our food drive. And it's our second annual biker benefit, man. This thing's taken off. It's taken a life of its own. You know, last year we fought hard to get it going, and then we were faced with the biggest flood that ever hit Nashville in like 120 years, and all the same week that it happened, after weeks and weeks, months of planning. And this year, you know, bikers have come together and said, oh, yeah, man, I remember that thing, and we're going to, you know, they're throwing in, and everybody's, you know, people are calling us, so we're very excited.
How are you doing with the press? Is the press, the newspapers, is the magazines, is TV, or are they giving you good exposure on this, Charlie?
You know what, man? I mean, I don't mind being out front with this. Absolutely not. We don't care. You know, I've attended, I've tried to get the press involved. You know, Nashville's very, I don't know what you'd want to say. I mean, I live here. It's a great location. It's a great central location as a musician for me to leave out of this town and things. But press-wise and stuff, man, it's very snobbish. They're very booish to the biker community. I've had a couple music magazines turn us down because we're bikers. And, you know, basically, fuck them. And fuck the press and fuck radio. You know, we're not taking on anybody. We're not asking for anything, period. We don't give a fuck. And the bottom line with it is we have so much internal biker stuff going on this year, who the fuck needs them?
You know, we got a good point there, because we just did a party at my shop last Sunday. We had 500 people there. We had the mayor down there saying a few words, and I was saying to him, you know, we put this event on every year at my bike shop here. I can't get the newspaper. I can't get the television down here. And he said to me, yeah, but Bill, a mile down the road, if two bikers got into a fight in a bar, it'd be in a damn newspaper in a heartbeat. 500 people getting together, having a good day, raising money for a good cause.
Which he all wanted to take to you. See, he actually said this to the whole crowd, Charlie. You got to imagine a guy standing there holding his little pocket dog, trying to talk to all these bikers,
the mayor,
and tell him that he loves everybody there. He got to meet a bunch of nice people. He really didn't understand the stigma. And I'm standing about maybe 30 feet from him, and I got the glare from Bill because he knows I'm going to say, why don't you tell that to the chief?
There's a time and a place, and I need to keep this spot so these people keep going in here, meeting and talking about events and all that. Did you tell Charlie who was with us the day before? You brought a friend down.
Yeah.
We went for the paralyzed vets here in San Diego at the hospital, and Screwdriver showed up with a friend of ours.
Andy showed up, and then we had a good time. Art got to meet him in the parking lot. He told me thanks for doing that, and we had a good conversation with him.
And then June 4th or 5th, we're at a major event up in Irvine, and Andy was saying he's going to bring quite a few of the Sons of Anarchy down. This will be 4,000 or 5,000 people at that event, so we'll set a booth up. It's a way for the people to meet him, shake hands and all that. Another, say the custom bikes and the music, it's something different for the people to meet, because obviously they're not standing up in line to shake Screwdrivers in my hand at all, Charlie.
Well, you know, man, that'll all come in another time, and I guess it's not about that happening anyway, is it? I mean, when you guys are running your show and doing your thing, you know, it's just like I said, I'm not really concerned about playing music that much at this event. I'm going to play some, but it's not about me billing myself at an event. It's about, hey, man, you know, we're throwing an event. You know, and back to the press around here, what's most disappointing here is I've contacted some alternative magazines and alternative stuff, you know, that should be hip to the scene, and they've blown us off like a bunch of fucks. But the other side of the coin is even the biker stuff here, man, and I'll say this again, that it's so goddamn, territorial. If there's a biker mag here, man, they don't work together. You know, they just are so freaking much up their own ass that they don't, you know, they want an exclusive, they don't want to just be, you know, they want paid or they want some bullshit, you know what I mean? So that's why the press stuff doesn't even happen in the biker world. It's all internal. Every bit of this is word of mouth. It's online. It's people picking up the telephone. It's everybody just talking about it, showing up at the bar, banners are up, blah, blah. You know, that stuff is happening that way. Otherwise, man, screw it, you know, because the outside press is just, you know, they totally thumb their nose at it.
Kelly, the one we did for the paralyzed vets, if you don't have any flyers, but I send the flyers out. My shop's name is not on anything. My name is not on anything. I need to encourage all the motorcycle shops to come in. Now, I was up on the stage speaking a little bit. That's what I do, you know. But I try to tell everybody the message is more important than me, the messenger. So we put these events on. I don't even want my name on it because I don't want people to think, oh, it's all about Bill, it's all about Kennedy's. No. We do an event. I will get as much press to every single motorcycle shop that I can.
Well, people don't really understand either what Bill and it's just like when Bill opens the shop for things like this, it's like opening his house, man.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not there to make a dollar. He's there for the charity. And you know, if people happen to buy things, they happen to buy things. That happens at any time when you have an event at a shop. That's basically one of the reasons people do have them. But Bill doesn't plan. Bill doesn't try and sell anything. Bill's outside doing the crowd, doing the networking.
That's why I take my name off the event. So it's an event for all of the motorcycle shops and everybody. That's the only way I can try to get people pulled together. Because they think, oh, Bill's doing this. Well, if somebody else would do it, I'd support them.
Right.
It ain't being done. So we're going to do it.
Very few freaking dealerships around this world. Very few. Are worth working with because every freaking dealership they all want to know what's in it for them. You're Harley fucking
right.
Davidson. We're wearing your clothes. We're riding your bike. You know, we're fucking doing your stuff, man. You know, I mean, gosh damn. What the hell is going on with that? But if they can't project an event that they're not going to sell 5 motorcycles and a bunch of swag, they don't want nothing to do with it at the dealership. And that is probably 98% of the dealerships around the United States of America. Yeah, it's all about business, but no, it's not. At what point do you draw the line and say, hey, man, you know, we're doing this because this is what we do and this is what we believe in. So the internal thing, man, travels way better. You know, I see it happening this year, and I see it happening more and more, you know, through you guys, and all the internal stuff happens so much more and so much more successfully than even worrying about trying to blow up a promotion because it's a biker event, because of the name Harley Davidson. You know, I mean, personally, I drive a Harley Davidson, but, you know, man, I can't wait for the day. I hardly want to wear their freaking clothes anymore. It's got to be a specific dealership that I really love to put a T-shirt of any kind on that says Harley Davidson of blah, blah, whatever that is. There's very few of them.
Or a nice independent biker sweatshirt, huh?
Yeah, independent biker sweatshirts are great, man. The best one I ever had was the Kennedy biker sweatshirt. You know, it's the most comfortable damn thing I ever put on in my life and rode in my life. You know, and the warmest thing.
I mean, I don't wear anything that says Kennedy's on it. I go to other shops. I MC. Whatever I'm going to do, I don't. Bill's doing this just for his sake. No, I don't. I do this because I encourage the community. If we would just work together, Marine Corps, work together, Chinese statement, gung-ho, why I'm breaking my balls all the time trying to get other motorcycle shops involved. It seems I'm always going uphill, Charlie, always.
And the funny part about that is we had a situation not too long ago. I won't give out too much detail because I'll tell you who's who and what's what. But some people did one thing at one place to make money. People at the other end, the state.
Well, they all do. Yeah. There's a bunch of that out there, man. And, you know, as long as you're staying true to yourself and true to who you are, you know when you lay your head on the pillow at night who you are. You know when you lay your head on the pillow what you did. And you know what your motives are, and you know what's true. And that's really where it counts right there. Because, you know, that's where it all counts, man. And at the end of the day, when you're doing that and you feel good about it because that's what you're doing, it doesn't matter how much work it was or how many people pissed you off. It's about, you know, the stuff that happened. But, hey, look, I got, you know, I'm on the road, man, right now. I'm driving and talking, and I'm fixing to pull up here to a little Mexican place and have a burrito with my woman, Sonia, and because I got to get her to bed. She's got to get up and be at the hospital early in the morning for she's a surgery.
She there?
And she's heading over there to do that. No, she's inside. She's waiting on me. So
okay.
I'm pulling in right now. That's what's happening.
Tell her we said hello.
I will do
it.
Have
a good event, brother.
And,
keep your head straight. Don't let those bastards drag you down, okay?
No, man, everything's good here. I'm really excited and really happy about the whole thing, so I'm good with it all the way around the horn. I don't have any problems with any of it, so I'm very happy. And, you know, because like I said, the bikers are taking care of it on their own and taking care of the situation, and I'm very excited that it's taken a life of its own without us having to deal with, you know, worrying about press and worrying about the foo-foo stuff, you know. The foo-foo stuff is, like, retarded. So, and thank you guys for doing what you do, and thank you for having me on. And I really appreciate being on tonight, man, and look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
All right,
Charlie.
Keep your head on straight. All right, buddy.
All right,
man.
Keep it straight.
People back east in the Midwest or sir, wherever close you are in that area, can stop by and make that event. If you don't, you know somebody lives in that area, give them
a call.
He's actually
from the same state I am, Bill.
Originally. No, Chicago?
Illinois.
Yeah,
he's from down south. He's from down south. I'm from up north.
What are you trying to ride his coattails? Like,
No.
Oh, me and Charlie together, like, you know, we're from the same state, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, that's just great, you know.
So we got Eva Lee on the line
from London.
From London.
Yo, what's up, Phil?
Hello, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to my friend in New Zealand. Her name's Cassidy Baby. She just asked me to give her a shout out.
Well,
is she listening?
Yep, I think so. I told her, but I don't see her pop up.
Okay. Well, I can tell you right now, she's in there.
I don't see her.
No, I don't see her on the...
New Zealand, we got three?
No, we have none in New Zealand right now.
Okay.
Well,
but it's
actually,
for a different server.
Yeah.
We have 25.
I was out of China the other day. Your favorite, Bill, huh?
You know, it's not the Chinese people. It's just the damn government. And every American corporation that's business with communist China should be ashamed of themselves. We should pull out of communist China. We have human rights violation going on. We have everything going wrong with China. I'm still mad at them because they took over the country of Tibet 20-some years ago. But I don't mind the Chinese people, Evely. I got no problem. That communism is bullshit. It's got to stop. It's got to go. Russia wised up. Russia's living so much better now. Communism, it's not happening. So, I don't know.
You know, Bill,
but there are beautiful women over there. I give them that.
Evil, let me ask you this.
I've been to China once before, actually, and it was real nice in some ways, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this.
Quite a lot of fun over there. You'd be surprised how much fun you could have for a communist country.
Evil, is that just fun because you're European and you're coming in, or do the local people have access to the fun?
Yeah, hell,
I say this because I
want to
make a point.
Mountains, there was zoos, there was. We seem to wet out every day, goddammit, you know?
But are the local people, do they have access to these entertainment spots? Or is this just the European visitors?
No, everyone does.
Now, I want to talk about like 1971. I was in Tehran, Iran, to get into a cinema, a movie theater. You had to be dressed really expensive, or you had to be a European. They had police at the station, at the beginning of the entrance, all cinemas. Local people that lived in Tehran, they could not get in their own movie theaters to see movies.
Where is that?
Only
Iran,
well-dressed,
right?
Iranian people and foreigners. But you saw nothing like that in China, huh?
China, everyone. In China, don't forget, everyone's equal. They don't have a class system in communism, supposedly.
Let me ask you this. We're gonna go back to that thing where up in from Canada, and let me ask you this. Earlier this month, this is. I'm gonna read something to you. But earlier this month, city police announced that signs were coming to the city, cautioning that people wearing gang colors, gang insignias, and gang support. We're welcome in downtown bars. The signs also state that failing to abide by these rules could result in a trespassing charge. At the time, no specific group of people were mentioned in the announcement, resulting in a few raised eyebrows, a few letters to the editor, and a few comments questioning the move. City Police Constable Dan Gemetti said officers working the downtown beat began hearing concerns from business owners when this heavy hitter club and their friends began hanging out at the local bars. In November, they set up a clubhouse just outside the city limits on Lansdowne Street West. Officers asked bar owners if they were interested in putting up no gang color signs and received 16 requests for the signage. Giamatti said since the bars pay for the signs with some funding through the DBIA, that sparked another initiative, he said, when officers stopped in at those establishments and educating bar staff about biker gang and insignia, what it looks like. Not everyone understands what support wear is, he said. In some cases, it's a patch with a biker gang logo on it. Other examples include a 1%er patch. Police want to send a very clear message and let any member of a criminal organization know that they are flat out not welcome in the city. Police have no intention of targeting biker clubs or any group. Is that a fucking oxymoron right there?
No, that's just crazy right there. You know what? We put up with this bullshit. Now,
what
leverage can they use?
That is.
Leverage this is. They can pull their liquor license for any bar that wants to let motorcycle people into their bar for a drink. If you want to let them in, the city can pull your liquor license, now you got no money. That's the type of chicken shit rules we live under.
Where is this, Canada?
That's Canada.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It happens here all the time.
It's coming to your town soon.
Now you can wear any patch you want down here. You can go anywhere, wear full patch support, wear anything you want, and ain't no one saying nothing.
Today. Tomorrow could change.
See, here's where their kicker is. This is how they're getting the funding for overtime and everything else that they're pulling. But it said there's no indication that this club were interested in setting up downtown. The move is part of a bigger war the police force is waging on the drug trade, he said. Drugs, organized crime, and organized gangs go hand in hand, he said, adding that that's an issue of public safety. It always boils down to public safety. Who determines what public safety is, Bill?
You know, it goes over and over again. The police, and most of the cops I know, tell me they have a lot of respect for the heavy-duty clubs. They really do. But the fact is, it's the local people, the newspapers create a phony image. Two bikers get into a fight, evilly, it's in a newspaper. Screwdriver and I have 500 people.
Let me ask you this, Bill.
What?
How many Marines got killed in Afghanistan this week, Bill? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay. There was a stabbing. There was a stabbing in San Francisco by an alleged club against two guys who thought they were in another club. That was on the 11 o'clock news last night, but not the 15 Marines that got killed in Afghanistan this week, Bill.
It's lousy yellow journalism. That's all it is. Again, we can't put an event on with 500 people because there's no violence.
Right.
Two bikers in a bar getting into a fight, bam, right there in the newspaper.
And Lou Sporty says out of Canada that it isn't as... It isn't enforced as much as it sounds.
Today.
Today.
It'll change tomorrow, though.
It'll change tomorrow. That's it. She says, look up Bill C-95.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We could do that.
So they can put these ordinances in place and then use them as they want to. It's called enforcement.
That's true.
So, Evil, you...
Yeah, going back to that thing about public security, what we were talking about in Hermes yesterday, you know? Is it fucking public security when they pat down a 6-year-old girl at the airport? They pat down a 16-year-old girl at the airport. For me, that's pedophilia. That's fucking pedophilia.
They separated that child from her mother and they took the child off to the side and did that. That's absolutely sick. I agree with you.
Yeah. They even touched private areas, apparently. I mean, I want to see what happened there, because apparently it was on, you know? It's on YouTube or something.
I didn't catch
you
on YouTube. I just saw news like you.
Well, you know, it's just like Australia.
And show fucking job worth pricks what's going on, because that's all they are, you know? Fucking job worth pricks. You know? They couldn't find a real fucking terrorist if they fucking tried.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
I mean, they're still looking for Bin Laden, and they know right where he's at. But this one came out of Australia today at 8:09. But it says, the lawyers opposed the Victoria biker law. The law designed to crack down on bikie gangs in Victoria, and we're Australia now, could be abused to criminalize other groups the government dislikes, the legal group says. Victorian Premier Ted
Bellaloo
said on Thursday the coalition is working on legislation to outlaw criminal bikie gangs. There have been reports of interstate gangs moving into Victoria after the introduction of tougher laws in New South Wales and South Australia. The Law Institute of Victoria, James Dowley, urged the government not to outlaw the bikie gangs. He said existing laws adequately deal with the drug dealing, violence offenses, and planning to commit crimes. We oppose the law that makes criminals out of a whole class of people. That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
They're categories in all in one.
So they keep passing these laws. They don't have to utilize them all at once, but if they need to grab them, they can use them against you.
Well,
and again, we call that selective enforcement out here. Some days they don't give you tickets. Some days they will.
And just like the guy said about associations, Bill, this guy says, he said the legislation could extend to associates of an outlawed group such as family members or lawyers. Even an email or a phone call could make you an associate of a group and leave you liable to a prison sentence.
Well, is this in Australia? So like having certain friends on, you know, associating with anyone, speaking to anyone of a certain club, could make you liable to prosecution now. And
that's correct.
It's about biker clubs, yeah? You're talking
about.
That's
correct. Now, their attorney general said the government was committed to introducing the law, saying the legislation will put Victoria at the forefront of a tough action against criminal bikie gangs. Recent suggestions by the Lawyers Institute that these laws can impact the legitimate and lawful activities by clubs and their associates are mistaken. Under the new laws, the chief commissioner of police or director of public prosecutions would be able to apply to have a bikie or gang declared a criminal organization. The Supreme Court will have the power to outlaw a gang if its existence represents a serious threat to public safety and order. To do so, the The court must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that members meet to organize, support, or engage in serious criminal activity such as drug trafficking, extortion, intimidation, or violence. The court, The court will also be able to restrict the involvement of certain members of a biking club. If it is not satisfied, the organization as a whole should be outlawed.
See, that's because the RICO wasn't strong enough in here, because they kept saying every single member of every single club is involved in crime. Now they find out it's not true. So now they're trying to say we can still go after the club if certain members are in it.
That's right.
You know, you get 10 guys in a bowling league, you're going to find one guy having trouble. You can find 10 guys in any bike club, somebody's going to cause trouble. It doesn't mean the whole club can be prosecuted.
You have two guys sitting here, and one guy in trouble.
That's what they're trying to do. The RICO Act wasn't strong enough, so now they're trying to use this to say selective members of a club can make the whole club legal.
That's true.
Yeah.
What do you think of that one, Evil?
It's just completely fucking out now. I think it's complete fuckery, if you ask me. They just want to stop, you know, biker clubs altogether. They just want you to do what they want you to do. They just want you to pay your taxes and shut up. That's all they want you to do. And whenever you ask them for anything, you don't get it. So that's why people form their own little communities. Because it's what we need to do. We can't sit around waiting for them, you know? We have a right, you know, we have a right to live our own lifestyle and our own culture, and not everyone's going to be the same or living the same thing. And it doesn't make you a criminal. You know, you could take 100 people. You could take a bar where there's a certain group that hang out. And you get a lot of trouble from there. So why don't you ban every pub in the whole city, because there's certain bar gangs, as you have around here. Why don't you ban every bar, because there's trouble, there's drugs, there's, you know, like the so-called nightclub gangs and firms that related to that. Why don't they do that?
Well, you know, I got one for you right here. There's two clubs in Australia. This comes out of Australia. It says now, you see, this is where all the propaganda comes from with the yellow journalism.
Yeah.
You want to read that, Bill?
Monkey gangs, oh my God. In Australia, feared reuniting with the violent Mexican drug cartels in a bid to bring cocaine into the country. Policemen, Australia has cocaine. Don't worry about that. They already have it in there. They're trying to say, as new figures reveal,
for years.
Sure they have. The drug cartels aren't trying to get into Australia. They're already, wherever they're getting the drugs from, they're already getting them in there. Why do they got to throw the bikers into everything that's negative? The drug cartels and the bikers, they're not connected. They're not related. They're not doing anything. Some members may be doing some business, but the cartels have nothing to do with the bikers. Screwdriver and I, from right here, in 45 minutes, we'll be downtown Tijuana. I'm going to ask you, I've been 40 years in Tijuana. Have you seen the cartel members coming in North County? No. The cartel doesn't want to associate with the bikers because we're too high profile. It's like when I was talking to some East Coast Mafia people, they go, we don't have patches on our back. We're the mafia. We don't want people to know us.
Yeah, they wouldn't go around with patches if they were doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? No way.
Yes, exactly.
See, right here it says, I'm not going to say the name of it.
Why don't they make more stink about, like, triads or Yakuza or any other kind of mafia group, for that matter? Why don't they pick up more of a stink about the, who is it, Clamora from...
And that's big money. That's big crime there. Big crime.
Clamora. That's the one. Why don't they put up a big... They're the new...
Well, they said this one club has links to over $12.5 million worth of cocaine found in a shipping container in Sydney last September. Almost 50 kilograms of the drug was allegedly concealed in a shipping container from Panama that passed through Mexico's busiest port. More than 460 kilograms of cocaine found on a yacht in Queensland in October originated in Ecuador but had links to Mexico. Why? Because somebody had a made Mexico thing on the boat? And a Mexican man in Melbourne allegedly sorted through 240 kilograms of Mexican cocaine concealed inside pavers. The Australian Federal Police has reestablished its Los Angeles office to combat cocaine smuggling from Mexico, where 30,000 people in 5 years have been killed in the country's bloodiest drug wars. Mexico in particular is having an extreme impact on Australia. I wonder where they're getting them figures from. The Australian Crime Commission will today release its I haven't seen that report yet. It flags cocaine and violence from Mexican drug lords as a major threat to Australia. What do you do, swim over there in a canoe?
As I was just thinking that. All the Mexicans, you know, with a rowboat going over there.
They're in tonga boats. Well, in tonga boats, 20 deep. The combined annual turnover of Mexican drug cartels, which are increasingly exporting cocaine to Australia, is estimated to exceed $10 billion, the report says. There is concern that it may also import the violent practices which have been reported overseas.
Now, that is true. I have read over and over that the violence that's going into Mexico is so overboard that in the other countries are starting to follow it, observe it, or let that be the guidelines. Now, the largest club in Mexico is based out of Tijuana, and they have a new president. They asked me to come down. I said, okay, I'll be down on such and such a date. They said, no, let us know. We'll meet you at the border. I asked them, I said, well, why? Have you moved the clubhouse or something? I said, I'm a big boy. I can't get lost. They said, no, Bill. We are telling you right now, we will escort you across the border. We'll escort you back to America. It is now so violent, we cannot guarantee your safety. That has never happened in Mexico before. But it's a cartel killing cartel. I'm a white guy. They're not going to bother me. And even like I tell you, it's funny, because when I cross into Mexico on my motorcycle, I have never once been stopped by the Border Patrol or the border crossing Mexicans. I spend my time down there. We're having a good time. We're partying. Coming back to America. Stop. Where have you been? How long have you been in Mexico? I'm not even in America yet. You're stopping me before I get to America, and you're asking all these questions, which are none of your business. I go into another foreign country, and all they say to me is, hola, hola, senor. Coming back to my own country.
Or get behind us, and we'll lead the way.
And escort us down. That's a damn fact.
Well, you know what? That's the same as whenever I go to Jamaica or Brazil. It's like, you go in there, they're fine. But you try and get back on the fucking plane to England or wherever. You know, it's...
You got to write a damn book about where you've been and what you've done.
Yeah, point A to point B. Where was I between point A and point B?
That's it. Where are you coming from? Yeah, where are you coming from? Point A. Where are you going? Point B.
See, we don't need to
they ever try and deal with me like they deal with me normally. I'm gonna remind them what happened in over there in America, and I mean that's gonna really like shake things up at airports and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's been a lot of terrorist attacks on airplanes, and we've had security for years. It isn't just something that happened overnight.
No, and it's just like if you get on a plane now, you might have a sunroof.
So, you know, he's talking about evil, some of the American planes, the outside skins are coming off, and we've had a strange amount of American planes that are being grounded because they're getting old and they're falling apart.
Have you seen that Airbus in New York?
Yeah.
Spun around that little...
Yeah, hit the smaller plane, yeah.
But that plane had 800 people on it.
Yeah, the big one. Yeah.
It could have been a disaster.
Yeah.
The worst when you need them.
Yeah, and they don't even let you take lighters on planes now.
No. Well, I got on a plane going from California to Arizona, and I was going to... the government decided they were going to teach Indians
in Arizona how to weld and stuff, and they built this million-dollar facility for him. So we went out there to interview and hire some of the guys and see how they could weld. But before I left, I was carrying, I had a tool bag. It had a pair of wire cutters, a pair of welding gauges, two markers, a flashlight, a feeler gauge, and a chipping hammer. They confiscated the feeler gauge because they said I could use the weld gauges because they said I could take the screws out of the floor, Bill. Then they took the chipping hammer because they said I could use that to break the glass. And then they took the wire cutters because they said I was going to use the welding gauges to take the floor apart to crawl in and cut the ailerons on a plane that I was riding on, Bill.
Let's correct this, everyone. You're saying the government sent you know that you weld ships.
Right.
So you're not the government. You're over there trying to bring people job development, stuff like that. Okay, well, I get that. Because if you don't understand, what the hell do you mean the government sent him? No. Part of his job.
No, the government decided to build the Indians.
Yes. So part of your job was to educate them, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay.
To bring them out here. Once they get hired, you can't fire them, Bill. They have I don't care if he's the shittiest worker you got, you can't fire him.
Well, Philip, they don't let you on the plane with that stuff, but yet some of the stuff that you're dealing with is a lot more sensitive than a stupid Boeing 747, you know what I mean?
I can't see climbing in the floor, taking screws out, to crawl in there and cut ailerons on a fucking plane I'm flying at 35,000 feet in the air.
Even the last time I flew into Amsterdam or the Netherlands in there somewhere, I forgot the airport, wherever I ended up there, to let my wife through, and then I was going through, and they said to me, you're not allowed in the country. I said, what the hell do you mean I'm not allowed in the country? Your passport's no good. I've used this passport for 10, 15 years, renewed it, blah, blah, blah. They said, no, brought me off to the side. You know where you're supposed to sign your passport? I've never signed my name. They weren't going to let me in the damn country. Took a supervisor to come in there to make an executive decision to allow me in their presence to sign my name on my passport to get in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a stupid thing, you know.
You know, Bill,
Oh, my God. Where was it? Holland, yeah?
Yeah.
We're gonna. Hey, Evo, I want you to stay on the line. We're gonna take a short break. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
We're gonna play a little Axel Rudy Pell, Bill.
Little Forever Angel, my friends from Europa.
That'd be Germany, though.
That's Europe.
Live in me.
good song. It's probably a good time for me to point out that Screwdriver and I are true independents. We respect the freedom of all motorcycles, and we respect all the patches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you agree? Okay, because sometimes you're a little stickler on that. Sometimes you will, blah, blah, blah. No. First of all, respect the freedom road for all motorcycles. And we respect all clubs. That's right.
We just got to...
We don't give out information on other clubs precise because that's not our job. We're talking about motorcycle events.
And everybody has access to us to free full time.
Exactly.
But Blue Sporty sent us this thing out of Canada, Bill. Actually, it's a similar lot of Canada has, but this one was done in Maryland. And if you want, you can read the synopsis.
Is he still in the line? Is Blue Sporty still in the line?
No. He believes.
He believes. Okay, I want to ask him. So I only slept with two girls from Canada in my life, and both girls socks on. We're making love, and I said, "Well, why don't you take your socks off?" And they said, "No, the floors in Canada are so cold and all that." And I didn't know if that was just coincidence. I was with the only two girls that wouldn't take their socks off. I don't know if that was a thing or not. So maybe I'll ask him next time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could ask her. She's listening. She'll type it in there.
I don't. Blue Sporty, this is Bill Kennedy. Would you type in the response if you would? Again, I've only slept with two girls from Canada down here visiting. A lot of that A in it. While we're sleeping.
This was years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. How long have we been? Before I got married. Before I was married. And both of them didn't know each other, but they both kept their socks on. I was wondering, is that a regional thing? They told me it was because the floors in Canada are all ice cold. Blue Sporty, can you care to comment on that, or can you type something in? Blue Sporty's not going to talk to me now.
Give her a minute.
Okay.
Now, this thing here is what she sent us. It's called House Bill 756, Bill. The file code is criminal law, substantive crimes.
That's small writing.
Yeah, classified with Senate Bill 517. Here's the synopsis. The Maryland Gang Prosecution Act of 2010. Go for it.
Yeah, you go. It's still small words. Altering the definition of a criminal gang to repeal the requirement that an association of three or more people, manger et toi?
Yeah.
Whose members meet specific criteria be ongoing. Altering specified factors that persons can have in common to be considered a criminal gang. Altering the list of underlying crimes for criminal gang activity. Alerting a specified probation concerning participation in criminal gang activity to repeal the requirement that a pattern of criminal gang activity be ongoing, etc. Canada, that's a rough place to be. Canada, do you wear your socks to bed? I'm just asking if she's going to answer me or not.
This was started in Maryland, though.
Oh, okay. I'm still wondering if Canada's going to get back. Okay. Three or more. God, they get us every time we go out.
Yep. And it's only two of us.
Yeah. Well, you start enough trouble for two people, so right away that's three of us.
That's getting what he thinks about that.
Who's that?
Evil.
Evil, what do you think about that law coming around here where three of us get together? That could be considered gang activity.
Oh, my God. You got to be shitting me.
Three or more.
You gotta be shitting me. I think that is over here, but no one. If you walk around and there's like, you're in like an unorderly kind of fashion, it's considered a gang, you know. But that's just fuckery again. That's just stupid, you know. If you go out with your family, there's gonna be more than three of you. So does that make you a gang?
That's what it said.
That definition, it fall right in?
I've been told that in California has the STEP Act, same thing.
See, they don't need to use that all the time. That goes under selective enforcement. But
right.
when it's fortuitous for them to do it, then they can grab us.
Right.
So you and I can ride down just one of our friends who have a drink down the bar. Man, we could be hit.
Mm-hmm.
Evil, let me ask you, in your mind, in your interpretation, do you think you have more freedom than we have in England than we have in America, or do you think we have more in America than you have in England?
I don't know. I think America's got the amendments and stuff. I mean, like, you have the rights to bear arms and stuff like that. But there again, from what I'm hearing, it depends what state you're in, you know?
Correct.
If somebody breaks in over here, you shoot someone, like, dead right there, you get convicted for it over here, for example.
Mm.
But, for the gang stuff, England doesn't really...
What is a gangster? Give me your definition of a gangster. Exactly.
There is no definition.
Only what you say is a gangster in the movies.
Every time I look at one of the big CEOs of big American corporation frauding the people out of millions, billions of dollars.
Those are gangsters.
Those are gangsters. And they're treated with kid gloves when they go to court and all that.
They go to the country club.
Yeah.
They don't go to prison, they go to the country club.
Just watch The Godfather. You see he's a gangster, and yet everything around him's sweet, you know?
Exactly.
He ain't shooting anyone. He ain't killing anyone. In fact, the business he done, he didn't deal with drugs or anything. He mainly dealt with protection and legitimate business. But if you fuck him off, he sends out his gunmen after you. So just watch the movie The Godfather. You see it all there.
Yeah, good point. Good point in The Godfather,
too. And
that's
based on a true story, too, The Godfather.
Yes, it is.
It's one of my favorite movies, for a matter of fact.
Well, it's so prevalent on the East Coast, but out here in California, we have got Russian gangs, we've got triads, we have so much that we forget about the mafia, which they say there's no such word, but that is really still an East Coast strong point. Here in California, though they're out here, there's so many new nations which have come over here, and boy, they're really controlling it.
Have any of you guys ever
read Venice. When I was up in Venice a while ago, Venice Beach, every shop I go in, I look at the owner's name and all that. 10 years ago, everybody along Venice Beach, California, had a Jewish last name. Recently, I was up there, everybody's got a Oriental name. Changes are happening. People are moving in. People are moving out. The Jewish people move out of that area. The Oriental, the triads, they're moving into that. And now we have the Russian gangs coming in pretty heavy and all that. So it's I'd say the power is constantly shifting, Evil. It's constantly shifting.
Have you guys ever read a book, The Life Story of Nicodemo Scarfio?
No, I don't think so, no.
Have any of you guys ever read much in the ruffian, Sicilian Mafia?
Well, growing up in Boston, where I'm from...
Or Chicago, where I'm from.
Yeah, that's quite, we've all got relatives and all that, but...
And friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the precursor to the Mafia in the early days was the Black Hand Society.
That's even featured in the movie, The Godfather Part 2, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we grew up with the Black Hand, which is really illiterate immigrants. And when the Mafia came in, it was a more sophisticated type of an organization, when I recall that growing up.
It's like, when we're talking about the groups and everything.
Yeah.
I got an email the other day from Art, and he says, "I know I sent this out before, but it's important. The debate, but should include the MMA and all the rights groups. Okay, and this is to go to the legislators, Bill. And let me get to it real quick. This is they're going to have a freedom rally."
Right.
And every time somebody says freedom rally,
mm-hmm.
we don't get all the people we should get.
No.
If we had, just like when you guys, when we're talking about this Black Hand and the society and the mafia and all that, that's a group of guys who are tight-knit.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, they are, yeah.
That's where we need to go. That's where we need to be that tight.
Well, in America, again, we point out, and I've said this so many times, that if the organizations, the motorcycle organization rights that come together, if the Honda groups, if the Kawasaki, Suzuki, it doesn't matter. If you're a motorcycle rider, you belong to a group. If we could come together under one umbrella, Evil, one umbrella, that's where we have the power of the club. But I see too many of the motorcycle groups having petty jealousies and just wasting my time spinning their wheels. But one day, if we'd come together.
This is going to be the California Freedom and Motorcycle Awareness Rally. It's going to be at the state capitol on the South Steps, Monday, May 23rd, 2011, at 11 a.m., Bill.
I want to give good kudos to our good friend Spike.
Hey, Bill, have you ever heard of a man called Julian Shearer? He's always writing books about, and he's always on documentaries about bikers. They have multi-million-dollar corporations. They have this. They're nothing but businesses and stuff like that, and mafia on wheels and all that. You ever heard him? Now he's the kind
no,
of
but,
guy.
No, but
Bill, are you making millions?
If I was going to say, if they're making millions, sign me up because I'm game for that. I'm definitely not making millions. No, I'll give me that name one more time, Evil, so I try and look it up. Okay.
Julian Shearer.
Can you spell the last name?
S-H-E-R-E
or S-H-E. Julian, I can figure out.
We talked about it before, didn't we, Philip, on the Hermes show?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
S-H-E-R-E. S-H, well, phonetically, S-H-E-R-E. Shear, we can figure it out.
Julian Shear.
I'll have to look that up later, Bill. But, I think, right now,
type it in the chat. Let me type it for you guys.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Blue Sport. I'd like to thank Blue Sporty for sending us those links.
Well, sending us most of those links. I didn't get my response.
Oh. Tell her again.
Blue Sporty. This is just Bill Kennedy. I'm just asking you a question because I don't know, but Canadian women. Is it true Canadian women wear their socks when they go to bed? Blue Sporty, can you, if you don't want to call up, can you just type a response so I would know? Maybe I met the only two Canadian women who wear their socks to bed. But we want to know.
You get that, Bill?
Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you look up his name and you'll see plenty of stuff about him.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do it right now, but I mean, I got everything tied up here. But I will do that and I'll get back. I'll give an update on that Tuesday.
You know, even either, I've got a couple of magazines that have asked to, I've been riding 45 years at different bike clubs. They've asked me about writing a book about my life, and I'm going to tell you what I tell them. Until my mother and my wife have passed on, don't anybody write anything about me, for God's sakes. No, I just couldn't see going home that, so.
Well, we're getting towards the end here, Bill.
I think so. I'm really starving. My stomach's grumbling. I'm trying to.
I think it's time for our favorite guy, Bill.
Oh, no. Well, there goes the professionalism one more time. However, I am getting like the big homie. I'm somehow that's kind of getting to me after a while.
Yeah,
didn't think I'd like that.
I think it's time for a little Biker Joe, Bill. What do you think?
Even Lee, what do you think about Biker Joe's song? Have you heard that before?
No. Sorry.
Oh, then you hang on to yourself.
Hang on, you're in for a treat. I'll play this, and then we'll, after this song's over. Yeah, just check this out. After this is over, we'll wrap it up.
Screwdriver's favorite song. All
right.
Hang on.
In the grocery store, all the kids look at me like they thought I was Santa Claus. And their mom mamas don't like to go, they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look, she thinks I'm just a greedy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of funkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I'll leave the biggest tip that the waiter has seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of funkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Special.
Eva Lee. Special thanks to Eva Lee tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Bill.
Good night,
bye.
Max.